The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. Second hour is here. Cole Kubelik in the first hour. We have Coach Musselman in the final hour. Joe Lenardi talking about bracketology 2 weeks and 2 days before Selection Sunday. That's coming up here in about 15 minutes. Right now, we are taking your calls, and Dave is up next in Ohio. Hey, Dave. Dave, you there? I did not hear Dave, so I will try Fred in Alabama. Hey, Fred, go right ahead. Fred, you there?
Yeah.
Go right ahead, Fred.
I have two things. One is more or less a statement of what I think, and then I have a question for you.
Okay.
My question is, or my statement is, the NCAA tournament, if they do go to 8 or 16 games, what's going to stop the best four from being in there? They're the best four teams. They're going to beat everybody.
Nothing's going to stop that, and it's not going to 16. I mean, it may go to 8 in 5 years. And don't forget, if it goes to 8, every conference champion will get in there. There'll be a group of 5. So all you're trying to do is be more inclusive. Whether that will change the final result, most people don't think it will. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Larry is up next in New Mexico. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm from Memphis, got 2 degrees from Tennessee, and Tennessee's going to be fine long term. But I wanted to ask you a question. I was working construction when I was in high school. Gerald Woods, former Tennessee offensive lineman, former assistant coach over Philip Fulmer. Coach Fulmer and I have had this conversation before, and he's simply one of the nicest people I ever met. But he came to work to the construction site when I was in high school. I show up. My mom wanted me to go Ole Miss, and Gerald Woods says, "Larry, you got to come to Tennessee." He came to work that day with a guy that played the monster man position, the only human being I've ever met in my life that I thought needed to be kept in a cage and fed raw meat. I have no idea who that guy was, but Gerald Woods is the greatest man that ever lived.
That's a great story. That's fabulous. I don't think I'd want to meet the monster man either.
We have T. Martin here in New Mexico. He was with the University of New Mexico for a few years. Sharon Irons, the transfer quarterback, came through town for a while, so I've gotten a little feedback, but evidently there really was some kind of like defensive linebacker position that they called Monster Man, and this man was an animal.
I would not argue that point. Hey, great to hear from you from Albuquerque. Really do appreciate it. Sean is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Sean.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
Good. I want to touch on what Cole was talking about, get your opinion on Josh Heupel. And do you think Tennessee will let him have enough time to get them going, or do you think after 3 years they'll be looking for another coach? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I think they will give him enough time because, you know, they're going to have to. They're in the middle of an investigation that he has nothing to do with. So if he's not given time, then the program will self-destruct even more than it already has. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Ricky is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Ricky, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? First-time caller here. I just want to get your thoughts on Kentucky basketball this year and see what you think the odds would be of them winning the SEC tournament. Do you think Kenny Payne leaving had anything to do with the down year? Kind of felt like Cal was more of the bad cop, Kenny Payne, good cop, kind of keep it on calm through the games. And I know since Kenny left, I mean, you know, I don't know if it's something to do with that or it's just the COVID, like, but everybody else is going through COVID and some teams are doing fine, but I don't know if that win against Tennessee on Saturday was a coming-out party or if it was just a one-and-done like the rest of the players. You know, I've been a Kentucky fan my whole life, and I think this is the worst season I've ever sat through.
Ricky, thank you for the call. I think while the comeback has been great, I do not see Kentucky winning the SEC tournament. I know it's easy to say that, but, you know, based on the body of work, that is that's a mouthful of hope and not reality when you consider, you know, Arkansas and Alabama and Missouri. There's six or seven teams that could be Kentucky in the SEC tournament. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Jamie is up next. Hey, Jamie, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Paul. Pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I read an article yesterday that said Hasbro is going to gender neutral Mr. Potato Head.
Right.
And it just made me think that, you know, for a target audience of 2 to 3 years old and all the social issues we've got going on, thank goodness we have eliminated gender influence on 2 to 3 year olds. So,
yeah, Jamie, I don't think people. I'm gonna watch my words here because I'm privy to a few things that are, you know, more futuristic in terms, not futuristic, but the next couple of years in various industries, and I think people had better get used to this. You are going to see more. This is going to be the norm, not the exception.
Well, I agree. It obviously it's a trend, and I guess it's here to stay. And it's I guess that's just an iconic thing from my childhood, and I just couldn't help but raise an eyebrow. Anyway, reason I called, I just a couple questions real quick. I just wanted to get your thoughts on who you thought maybe SEC coach and player of the year might be in basketball this year. It's certainly not ending the way we thought it was going to start. And I think Coach Musselman's probably outside of anybody named Rick Barnes.
I don't know how you would coach. You know, I kind of lean a little bit toward Herb Jones, but there's probably two or three other candidates. But in terms of Coach of the Year, I really believe you're going to have to wait to the end. And I know that sounds like a very obvious. Sometimes you know by now, and I think Nate Oates had it wrapped up about a week ago. But Musselman is ascending. And I think another week of information is going to determine. It's going to be one of the two. And, yeah, you know, I think sometimes Coach of the Year is based on who exceeded expectations more. So back to the issue. I mean, Alabama was picked, I think, to finish fifth or sixth. Arkansas lower than that. They're going to finish 1-2. I might still lean a little toward Nate Oates, but Musselman is making it interesting.
Will that be awarded before or after the
usually is awarded after the regular season. I believe that will come out at the SEC tournament.
Okay. I wasn't sure what the time frame on that was, but yeah, I mean, there's certainly, to your point, there's certainly, you know, two or three guys that would definitely make an argument, but I mean, it's just hard not to, even being from a rival school, it's hard just not to root for Eric Musselman, man. He's just
a
great guy.
I agree with you on that.
Having him on your show.
Yeah, they're both, and I don't mean to characterize coaches. I mean, some coaches are really fun to talk to. Some are interesting to talk to. Some are just there to talk. And Musselman and Nate Oates are about as unique of coaches as I have encountered in a long time. I mean, they're both so interesting, and, you know, they're different personalities. I mean, Oates is very cerebral. Musselman is just energetic, and you know he's a motivator, and you know he comes from a blue blood lineage. Hey, thank you for the call. We're up against a break. Joe Lenardi will join us in a minute. He has a new book out. He could write, the cliche is he could write the book on bracketology, and he has. He's up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
It's always great to bring on Joe Lenardi, who has been such a friend to us and to college basketball for countless years. And, of course, Joe, it's great to have you on. And before we even get to all of the things that our audience and everybody wants to know, let's talk about your book, which will be out next week. It's about what else? Bracketology. Bracketology by Joe Lenardi, March Madness, college basketball, and the creation of a national obsession. Good afternoon.
Paul, it's great to be with you. You've always shared good books with me. Hopefully now I'm sharing one with you.
So tell us, I know this is your passion. This is, for those who don't know Joe, and I've been fortunate to get to know him, he has a real job, or he has had one for many, many years up in Philadelphia at a very prominent university. So this is just something that happened, and I've asked you this before, but how did you get into this, what's now quite a cottage industry?
Well, of course, as many people know, Paul, I was the star center on my college team, you know, the 6'11", power forward, box him out type. All kidding aside, I got out of St. Joe's in Philly in 1982 and became a sports writer, you know, an ink-stained wretch, I think we were called at the time. And covering the Big Five basketball scene in Philly, Temple, Villanova, LaSalle, St. Joe Penn, there was always a team or two every year that was in the hunt for the tournament. And I was fortunate enough to be courtside with all those programs, all those great media members, all the Hall of Fame coaches in Philadelphia. And it was kind of like going to school on college basketball. And then when the teams that I was covering started making runs in the tournament, it was natural to kind of study how the tournament was put together, to have an insight there. And who knew that scribbling brackets on napkins was going to turn out to be something that people cared about. And in a way, that's what the book is about. It's not really about me, thank goodness, because I'm not sure I would read a book about me, much less sell it to anybody else. But the opportunity to, you know, share the story and the passion from really just an educated fan's perspective on how this whole thing in March that we love so much comes into being. It's not that they just go into a room on Sunday and an hour later come out with a bracket. It's a process, and it's a pretty extensive process, and there's a lot at stake. You know, the average revenue unit for an NCAA bid, had there been a tournament last year, would have been about $1.7 million. And then another $1.7 million for every game you advance. So, you know, the NCAA is a lot of things, but it did not put the non in nonprofit. And we get into that a little bit, and hopefully in a lighthearted way. I'm a firm believer, as I know you are, that you can take your work seriously, but not yourself. And I hope that comes across, because I'm just fortunate to be able to do this. And, I mean, we're working in the toy department of life at a time when that's even more of a blessing than normal.
No, it's so true. And I'm so happy to see this come out. And Joe, most fans watching or listening right now, I mean, they get it. They understand the tournament. But what you use the word obsession, and it is for a couple of weeks. And I'm not talking about for guys that are used to Big Five at the Palestra. I'm talking about little ladies in Omaha who can't wait to fill their bracket out. Why does the nation come together with such glee and obsessiveness during March?
I think it's about bragging rights. I mean, pro sports is limited mostly to the major cities and large population centers. But every part of the country has a college team. And if they don't, well, then their dad went somewhere, or their crazy Uncle Steve, or their brother-in-law, or, you know, Susie down the block, or my babysitter from when I was a kid. Whatever the case may be, we all have a squad. So when I meet people at a venue, at an airport, at a game, at the tournament in a normal year, and people want to talk to me and tell me about their bracket, I'm okay with that, because that's what it's all about. We all want to be able to hold up that piece of paper and either say one of two things: my school did great, or I was really smart in picking teams. And there's nothing that brings the whole country together for that long a period of time. I mean, look, this is not the Super Bowl. But it also, it's not 3 hours either. It's 3 weeks. And we're playing off of that passion. It's turned out to be something that can be a livelihood for a lot of people. Didn't start out that way. And I certainly had no grand plan to profit from it. I'm not that smart. But I just love college basketball. And if you love college basketball, we're, as we speak, we're now under 60 hours to March. And it looks like, knock on some wood, we're going to get there this year.
Before we get to this year, and I know it's not a thought anyone really wants to talk about, but we're 2 weeks away from when the world stopped last year. And it was mm-hmm. a serious moment in time. But for people like you and a lot of folks watching and listening, the idea that there wouldn't be a Selection Sunday was maybe the first cut of it all before we even realized how bad things were going to be on the other side. What was that like for you?
Well, it was certainly a strange time, and I look back, kind of an ignorant time, really. Not ignorant in the way of being callous to the world. Ignorant as in a lack of understanding of what this was all about and what was to come. You know, the NBA shut down and conference tournaments were halted literally in mid-game in some instances. And, you know, here we were worried about an NCAA tournament as if that was the biggest possible thing that could go wrong. Well, as it turns out, that was a very, very small tip of the iceberg for what happened, you know, around the country and across the world. You know, as I said before, we're blessed to work in sports, and nobody died because the NCAA tournament wasn't played. That can be true, and simultaneously, I think it can be true that the people in and around the game felt a real sense of loss. And it's okay to admit that. I felt that way. There was a grieving of sorts. Because something that we love so much was not just taken away, it was pretty abrupt. And it was certainly the first element of kind of our sports calendar championship cycle where, you know, the climax of a season, of a year, of everyone striving towards something went away. Now, you know, the NBA was halted, but they did finish, right? Later. Hockey was halted, but they did have a Stanley Cup final. Baseball was strange, but they had a World Series. Football played without fans, but we had a national championship and a Super Bowl. Well, we didn't cut down the nets last year. And that in that regard, NCAA men's and women's basketball stands alone. And I think maybe is a bit of a metaphor for getting back to normal, if you will. Don't get me wrong, you know, immunology is not my ology. That's way above my pay grade. But I do think that there's a little bit of symbolism here in that, you know, we're starting to get some good news with case counts and the pandemic and vaccinations and whatever side of the aisle you're on, and that's not what I'm about. You know, it's a good thing if more people are getting back to normal. I don't think anyone would argue that. And maybe this is just a little bit of a slice of normalcy for a lot of people who haven't had it.
Joe and Artie, the book Bracketology, March Madness, College Basketball, and the Creation of a National Obsession. So in the remaining very few moments, let me throw a couple of things at you. As you know, this audience that follows this program is SEC-based. So let's start with Alabama. What does it look like right now for them?
They're going to be a 2 seed, at worst a 3, and I think they've had simply an extraordinary season. I don't take anything away from them because they lost at Arkansas. You know, I think Arkansas has also had an extraordinary season. And I heard you talking a little while ago about the coaches, Nate Oates and Eric Musselman, have shown, you know, that life can be breathed into those programs, and they compete at the highest level. I'm anxious to see how they do in the tournament.
And, you know, we showed it on the screen a minute ago, and we'll do it again because, you know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of mystery. You have Alabama 2 right now projected, Arkansas 5, Tennessee 5, Florida 7, Missouri 7, LSU 9. Let me ask you about the school that's not listed there, and we get calls every day here. What about Kentucky? Can they get in the tournament? I think I know your answer, but it's Kentucky, okay, so it has to be asked.
And I get asked every day, so that's, you know, par for the course. I really don't think there's a realistic path to an at-large bid, not at this point with, what are they, 8 or 9 and 13? It's just not going to happen. Are they bringing enough talent into the league to make a long run at the SEC tournament? Absolutely. I mean, we go back far enough to remember Georgia winning 5 games in 4 days in 2 different buildings in the middle of a tornado, right, and getting an automatic bid. So stranger things have literally happened in the SEC tournament. I just don't know if Kentucky, even in their kind of mini resurgence here, has displayed enough consistency to win 4 high-level games in a row, which is what it would take.
One or two more quickly here. Ole Miss made it onto the bubble, then they lost at home to Mississippi State, and they went on the road and beat Missouri. They're not on the list we just showed. Are they anywhere to be found right now?
Yeah, they're in the first couple of groups out, groups of 4. They're in the next 4 out, which means they're between 5 and 8 spots away. Is that good enough to make the field? No. Is it a place where a lot of teams play their way into the field? No. But in a typical year, 1 or 2 teams that are that far out with this far to go make a real play, and at least one will get there. I'm not saying it'll be Ole Miss, but it's going to be somebody. You know, this year, heck, it could be Duke or Michigan State. Some of the real blue bloods that have been hanging around the bubble for a month or so. I'm not counting Ole Miss out, and I'm sure Kermit Davis isn't counting them out.
Finally, the dilemma of COVID. We all want to put it behind us, but this committee is going to have to deal with it because there's certainly going to be uneven schedules, uneven numbers of games. How do they figure it out?
I think they just have to go by common sense. Sometimes, Paul, the solution to a complex problem is the simplest. And what do I mean by that? We can never compare apples and apples when you have, you know, high-end major programs competing for at-large bids against mid-majors who don't play the same kinds of schedules or have the same number of opportunities. Well, we're mismatched again this year. There's just more of it, and for more reasons, whether it be the number of league games, the absence of a real non-league schedule, pauses, teams that weren't themselves after a pause, et cetera, et cetera. But we still have, you know, 20 to 25 games under the belt for almost everybody in contention for the tournament. And, you know, there was a time when the college basketball season was only that long. And we seemed to pick a pretty good tournament back in those days. Didn't seem to bother John Wooden. And, you know, I just think we have to look and say, when that team played against high-level competition, how did it perform? Might be fewer opportunities, might be disproportionate opportunities. But if you've – like, Missouri is not playing well right now, okay? No one would dispute that. They were a four seed, now they're a seven. But they piled up too many good wins to make – to not make the field. That's just common sense. Well, Kentucky might be playing better than Missouri right now, but they didn't win enough games. So to put an 8-13 team in the tournament, nobody would say that that makes sense unless you – live in the Commonwealth. So that's just, I think, the way we need to move forward. And I trust, actually, that they'll get it right. And, you know, if they don't, well, I'll come on your show and we'll talk about it.
I can't wait. Congratulations on the book coming out early next week. And all the very best during the next 2 or 3 weeks. So, Joe, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Paul. Great to talk to you.
You got it. Joe Lunardi joining us from the bunker. And we will take a break. More to come in the final 2 hours. Coach Eric Musselman and during the 6 p.m. hour. Tim May next hour. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Back to the phones we go at 855-242-7285. And Duke is calling next. Good afternoon, Duke.
Paul. What do you think of Larry Munson as a play-by-play announcer for the University of Georgia?
If I were ranking a list of the 10 broadcasters that I would like to listen to on my final day on Earth do a game, he would be number one.
He'd be my number one, too. And what do you think of Georgia Tech dropping out of the SEC? Do you think that's the worst thing I ever did?
It was pretty bad, and I'm, you know, I was not really around cognizant of the activity, but I have read about it, and I think they got out for all the wrong reasons, and you know, I've never felt their marriage to the ACC has been successful.
Yeah, I didn't either. Well, anyway, thank you, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you, Duke. Appreciate it. Man, Larry Munson, I see a book coming, you know. Larry Munson playing heaven. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. William is up next, a young man who probably never heard Larry Munson. William, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey.
What do you think Georgia's football season is going to look like next year?
Quite well. William, we had Cole Kubik on a minute ago, and he said he would probably rank Georgia number one right now. I don't think he'll be the last person to say that. I think when the polls come out in August, you'll have a combination of Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. You'll see some Oklahoma and Ohio State, but there will be some people who rank Georgia number one, and I certainly can understand it. Play Clemson the first game. So you would rank either one of those number one at your own risk. But thank you for the call. Appreciate it. You take care of yourself. Jack is in Missouri, and Jack is up next. Hey, Jack.
How's it going, Paul?
Jack, we're doing great.
My question is, how far do you think the Missouri Tigers can go in the tournament? I know they haven't been playing as well, but they have some quality wins over Illinois, Alabama, Tennessee. So I'm seeing how far you think they can go in the tournament.
I think Missouri is the type of team that could get on a run. I mean, they are a streaky team. You will hear this 10,000 times between now and Selection Sunday. They are the kind of team that could lose in the first game and the kind of team that could go on a Sweet 16 Elite Eight run. I mean, they are that good, but also that inconsistent. What do you think?
I think they can make it all the way to the Final Four, but that's just me.
Okay. So do you realize to make it to the Final Four, you have to win four straight games?
I think it's possible. They got a veteran team, and that travels anywhere you go. They play great defense.
I agree. I'm just trying to find the consistency. That's all, Jack.
I agree. Have a good one, Paul.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to rain on the party before it starts. Missouri is an enigma because they will drive you crazy. They'll have a double-digit lead against Alabama and nearly lose the game. They'll come from behind by 15 or 20, as they did against TCU. They'll do a lot of really crazy things, but they're a fun team to watch. Thank you for the call. Let's continue with more calls here. And Ricky is – Rocky, I'm sorry. Rocky is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Rocky.
Hey, Paul. Two things I was wanting to throw at you. The guy said Jim Munson was y'all's favorite announcer. I lived with I was raised up with Orange Blood, and John Ward's my all-time favorite announcer. And Peyton Manning, him not winning the Heisman Trophy was the biggest upset in sports history.
Well, Rocky, let me make sure. I was talking about just somebody who I would want to hear one more time. John Ward is someone I could listen to every day of the week. I had the great pleasure of meeting John as a college student. He always had time for those of us who were mesmerized by his presence and his voice. And as I got older, I was able to stay in touch with him throughout the years, and it was always such a pleasure. I mean, my only regret is that he was very introverted for someone as successful. Well, that's not unusual, but he did not like to do interviews. I always wanted to just have him on our program and talk about his life and his career. He had a very interesting career. It was not as a broadcaster. He was a great ad man, but he never really liked to talk about himself. But as far as one of the greatest announcers in SEC history, he was in that group. And by the way, there's some work being done right now about a documentary on the great SEC announcers. I don't know when the publication or the broadcast of that is going to be, but it is going to be, I don't know how they're going to do it, frankly, because there's so many great stories and so many great people, from Larry to Kaywood Ledford to Jack Kristol, John Forney and Jim Fife. I could literally go on all day with the names, and every fan base would gravitate to their particular person. We'll take a break. John Ferguson from LSU, Jim Hawthorne. We'll take a break and continue with your calls. You want to give us a ring, you can do so. Maybe one day in the spring and summer, we'll just spend some time doing that show here. 855-242-7285 is the number. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And back on the program Friday afternoon, we head to New York, and Graham is up next. What do you say, Graham?
Hey, Paul, good afternoon to you. I wanted to share something with you. During COVID, working at home, I've decided to do a project in my home office. I'll make a little wall of fame where I will frame photos that I've taken with celebrities and famous people I've encountered over the years. And I'm happy to say I wanted to share with you that you're on the wall of fame. I've got a photo of when we met in New York. I think you were at the Waldorf Astoria covering that awards event that used to happen in December.
Right, the Hall of Fame.
So you're up there. Yeah, right. And you're up. So you're on my wall of fame, and along with the likes of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Hillary Clinton, Greg Norman. And so pretty cool, and it's really cool to have you on there. But there's one space on the wall that is blank, and I have yet to make it happen yet, is a picture with Danny Sheridan.
Danny Sheridan?
Yes, and I really want to make that happen, but it looks like it's going to take a long time because I checked on Google Flights, and right now, because of COVID, there are no flights available to Transylvania or Eagle.
You know, it's funny because Danny used to be a frequent. I've seen him in New York half a dozen times. He's up there, but not lately. But yeah, Transylvania. Do you is that a direct flight or do you have to change planes? You do have to change planes. Let's check out Pete in Florida. Hey, Pete, go right ahead.
Paul, this is Pete Brock. I've been watching your show since SEC Network started. And
oh, thank you.
I'm a long time, love football. You've been talking about broadcasters, and that's really got my attention. I'm 94 years old, and I remember listening to Ted Husey on the radio. I've been listening to Ted Husey.
Wasn't he a baseball announcer or a football announcer?
He was a football announcer for Notre Dame.
Notre
Dame games.
Right.
And that was about the only game on radio when I was a boy. And anyway, I think he's one of the best announcers I've ever heard. And Bill Stern was real good.
Yeah, too. Bill was at so Pete, if you're 94, I'm just curious, when would you have graduated high school?
1944.
So yeah, that what an interesting time to be in high school, right during World War II.
Yes, in fact, I went in right out of high school, was in the Navy for 2 years, and then came back and went to the University of Florida and got a degree there. And I'm a big time Gator fan now, but I'm one of these Gator fans who wait till next year. I mean, I'm not one of the the newer breed who expects them to win every year.
So I'm it's interesting. My dad, he didn't even finish high school. He was probably maybe about your age or a little older, but he had to come back and finish high school before he went to college after the war.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, that happened to some. Well, it was an unusual time, to say the least. Talk about the Gators for just a minute. You know, I was just listening to your interview with the AD at Notre Dame, and
right.
I thought he was really good. We talked about this talent. How can we have parity in college? And, you know, I think Florida is a good example of this. I think they have a great coach, but until they're in the top five in recruiting, I just don't see them catching Alabama or Georgia. Well, we caught Georgia last year, but I'm not sure.
No, Pete, and I think I heard that yesterday from someone else about, I can't remember who it was, may have been Tennessee, but, you know, that is the one thing I can't understand about Dan Mullen in Florida. I think he's a fabulous coach, but you can't have a number 10 recruiting class or a 12 recruiting class. I mean, you have to be in that. I mean, Alabama owns that territory. So does Georgia. We're up against a break. Thank you so much for calling. What a pleasure to talk to you, Pete. It was really cool. You be well, and we will talk again soon, I hope. We are heading to a break. If you want to give us a ring, good time to do it. 855-242-7285 is the number here. And a number of guests, including Eric Musselman, the head coach at Arkansas, in the final hour. Stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.